Let's see if I can get that kind of in step. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad that he touched me. Just think where we'd be at without the touch of the Lord. You know, I'll tell you where I was headed. I was on my way to hell. Woo! Lost, undone, no hope in life, and touched. Touched by the power of the God through the Holy Spirit and was saved. Got under conviction on Sunday night. So stubborn it took to Wednesday before I'd come around. You know, but that's, I tried to weigh that out and got under conviction on Sunday night or Sunday morning, actually. Old preacher walked out and kind of stomped his foot and said, without Jesus, you'll burn in hell. Made me mad. I thought that old man's talking about me. I'm serious. That was my thought. I thought the old man's talking about, he didn't know me. He didn't know if I was saved, lost, whatever, you know. It's just, that's what the Lord gave him to say. So I walked out of the church. I wouldn't even shake hands with him. Wouldn't even look at him. Mad at him, you know. I thought, well, you know, just stormed on by him. Went home, and that night I couldn't sleep. Under conviction. You know, I wasn't finding no rest, no peace. And I started trying to justify it in my mind. I thought, well, you know, it'd be all right. If I go to hell, I got a bunch of friends that'll go to hell with me. And I got thinking, I didn't really like them anyway. Yeah. You know, especially not spending eternity with them. And that's what I was facing, eternity. And I walked on till, struggled through that. Wasn't saying nothing to nobody, you know, because I thought, well, it'll pass. It'll pass. I'll get over this. And didn't pass. You won't get over it. If God convicts you, I don't believe you'll get over it. And I was truly under conviction. I knew what I needed to do. He had made it very plain that I need to trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what God had done through him on the cross of Calvary to pay my sin debt. And I knew, but, you know, it's one thing to know it, and it's another thing to accept it. You've got to accept that. You've got to believe with all your heart. I tell you what, it was a wonderful day. Wednesday, we were farming then, and Joan's brother Lloyd and myself was in the field early. Her brother Sammy was supposed to be there, but he always drug around at 8 or 9 o'clock, you know. But we was out in the field plowing early. And every time we'd make a round through the field, I was meeting Lloyd. You know, he's on his tractor and he's whistling. He's having the best time in the world, and I'm miserable. You know, I'm out there trying to do a job and try to do my work, you know, in the field, and I was miserable. Because I'm knowing, you know, my thought was, you know, if I fall off this tractor and get run over, guess what? I'm on the way to hell. Now, that'll affect you. And I thought, yeah, I'm on my way to hell, you know. So I'm meeting Lloyd every time, and about halfway through the field over at Miss White's was some property we had rented. About halfway through the field, I just pulled a stop out on my tractor. Yeah, I just pulled a stop out on my tractor. They're going to be all right. I think they're going to make it. But I just pulled a stop out on my tractor, and it just kind of chugged down to a stop. And I just got off. Got right down on my knees in the dirt. And I'll never forget it. You know, I'd surrendered. I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to burn for an eternity. I wanted something better. It wasn't about heaven that day. It was about not going to hell. You know, I learned more about heaven later, but I just got off my tractor, just right down the dirt, found Jesus. Received him forever. John's brother came by, plowing up, and he cut his tractor off, and he said, "Sonny, what you found?" I said, "I found Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior." And we didn't work no more that day. We just lifted our plows and took off to the house. You know, it was a joyful day. We wasn't worried about a potato crop. Had no concern for that. Didn't matter. I was going to heaven. And that's what we was excited about. And I hope everybody here had an experience, maybe not like that. Yours may have been different, but I hope you've had that experience. That's what it's about saved by the grace of God. Amen. And being able to stand up when they sing the song, glory, 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 that you've got a day you can stand up. Don't matter what day it was. I was saved on Wednesday. But he'll save you today. He'll save you tomorrow, or next week, next month. But I wouldn't recommend putting it off. I'd have that thing right. Because two places, heaven and a hell, that's what we got. Your choice. God lets you choose. Just the way he let me choose. And I'm so thankful to stand here today to tell you that when I got down in the dirt that day, right in the middle of a potato field, God was there. Didn't matter where I was, God was there. I believe it would have been anywhere I needed to be. That's the day I surrendered and changed my life. I'm not going to spend much time on it. We're going to tell you, got in church, got baptized, got bored, quit. Quit going for a while. Time of my life, I got out of church. I regret it. I'm sorrowful of it. I ask God to forgive me for it. But I'm so glad that he touched me again and put me back where I needed to be. Being right with God makes a difference, I'm telling you. Being saved makes a difference. Let's look at a few verses of Scripture. I come in here fired up and excited. I told you, just a conversation on the phone was fantastic of what it did. Brother Todd talking about what God's doing. And I started to just tell him, say, now you hush and listen to me a minute. You know, because he's so fired up and he's telling me what God's doing down in Africa. I started telling him what God's doing in New Salem. Amen. Because now I've got something to tell too. It's not just Africa or wherever else the missionaries are. God's doing a work right here in our own country, and I believe it and see it evident every day. I want to talk a little bit about the power of the church, the power of prayer. I want us to talk about a little bit about the hope that we have. Now, we're going to get over to a point, and we're going to talk about a shadow in just a few minutes. Now, I want you to think about this shadow that started on the hill at Golgotha, the shadow of the cross, and it's going to reach all the way to the resurrection. Somebody's saying, won't go past the resurrection. No, it's resurrection, then God will be the light. Then God's going to be the light. We'll get into that another time. Get into that just another time. But you think about that. It says after the resurrection that God's going to be the light. There'll be no more night nor day. And so there won't be that power behind it to throw that shadow of the cross, because God will be the light. Turn with me, if you will, Acts chapter 5. And let's talk just a few minutes. I tell you what an opportunity we have here today to come into the house of God and worship and praise him, to break his word down and understand that we might be powered by the Holy Spirit of God and get a little bit excited. You know, I was talking to Brother Todd, and he's fired up and he's excited. I thought, just wait. When you come out there, I'm going to make you listen to me about 15 minutes. And I want to tell him what's going on right here in this community and in our families, because we have a greater opportunity today than we've ever had before that we share this gospel of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, people will be saved. Jesus said, "And if I be lifted up from the heavens, will draw all men unto me." So that drawing power is here today. I have no doubt in that. So Acts chapter 5, and look at verse 11, Acts chapter 5, verse 11. "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." So we're talking about the early church. Now, this was a people that, no doubt, I bet you they was excited. You know, there was in a transition period from the law that they were coming out from under to the grace that God had given them through Jesus Christ. Now, you talk about excited. No longer did they have to go down to the temple and talk to some priest to get in touch with God. They didn't have to kill some animal or some dove or bird or something, because Jesus had made the sacrifice. Now, knowing this, I can just feel and read the excitement in these people. And you know, they're saying, praise God. Think about what they're coming into grace. Coming into grace. And I'm telling you, I'm a firm believer in grace, because without it, I wouldn't be saved. You might have the promise of it, but you wouldn't be saved, because it takes grace. You're saved by the grace of God. And so here in verse 12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. So he's demonstrating this power through the apostles. I'm talking about men of God, and they're seeing great wonders. They're seeing many signs. They're seeing a lot of things take place. I still see these things taking place today. You know, I thought about the miracle of healing they were doing. I was healed that day, just like I told you, right over there in the middle of a potato field at Miss White's property. I was healed that day. I was healed from sin, and it was eternal. Thank God for Jesus. And so these people excited. And verse 14, and the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. So both were men and women being added to the multitude. The church growing, the church expanding, the church moving forward for the cause of Christ. You know, we've still got that opportunity here today. And verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now, we talk about the shadow of the cross. Now, I want you to know that these people had a great hope in the power of God, that they'd bring their sick people, just lay them on the street, said, even the shadow of Peter demonstrating the power of God passes over, they'll be well. Now, you talk about faith, and you talk about hope and the power of God. I've still got it. We talk about that shadow of Peter. I'm telling you, we're under that shadow of the cross this day and time, and it's more powerful than Peter ever thought about being. It said, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they which were healed, every one. So notice the healing power of God demonstrated by these apostles, by this church when they were meeting, and they're saying they were all healed. Now, I want us to think about, I've prayed for a lot of people that's come up here, and they've had cancer, they've had all kind of sicknesses, they've had all kind of disabilities, and a countless number of times I've been blessed in the fact that God allowed us to walk around this pulpit, call the elders of the church, anoint them, and I've saw the healing power and process of God time after time after time. And you know, I got thinking about it. They didn't just bring the sick, they brought those that are vexed with unclean spirits. And we've got a community full of vexed with unclean spirits. Understand, if you're not following and filled with the Holy Ghost of God, then you've got the wrong spirit dwelling in you. Got a community full of them. You're saying, thinking, well, that's awful judgmental, according to the Word of God. I'm not judging, God judges. It said they were healed, every one of them. Now, you think about that hope they had. You think about the excitement going on. Then I got thinking about these unclean spirits and some of my family filled with unclean spirits. Amen. Worshiping something other than God. Tell me, you think about where we're at in a world, if we're worshiping any less than the Almighty God, then we fill with the wrong spirit, unclean spirits. And so they are bringing them down just in hopes. Can you imagine somebody bringing their loved one to church that's their hope is that the power of God would relieve them or release them from an unclean spirit? Something in her life. Let's get this down a little bit closer. Let's talk about release. Let's talk about freedom. Let's talk about somebody just being set totally free from the sin, the habits, the lifestyle that they live. That's what we're up against. That's what we're after. People to be saved by the grace of God. Make all things new. Let's look over in Acts chapter 12 just for a few minutes. An illustration about the church and the prayer. I thought about the ability that God gives this church that we can pray and ask things in the name of Jesus that He can help us with. So Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Now notice who he's picking on. He's picking on the church. That's who they still want to pick on, the church. Let me tell you something. Go ahead, we can handle it. With the power of God, we can stand it and we can survive. We have so far, and it'll continue till the Lord comes back. So he vexed certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, understand, King Herod thought, okay, I'll lock this man up. I'm going to kill this one, and I'm going to lock this one up. So he decided to lock Peter up. Now, in his mind, he had everything taken care of. He had overcome the power of God because he had placed Peter down here in prison. It said he delivered him to the soldiers, four quarters of soldiers to keep him until after Easter, and then he's going to bring him forth. And I think about how often this world is deceived to think they've got the church where they want it. Guess what? As long as God's in control and in power, we're still got it. They're the ones on the outside looking in. But old King Herod, I can think about, he probably went to bed that night feeling good. He said, well, I've took care of that. I've settled that once and for all. I've killed James and I've locked up Peter. So, well, in his mind, he had it all took care of. Understand this. You don't control God. God controls us. And so when he was feeling so good about that, in verse 5, it said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of him, of the church, unto God for him. So here we go. Herod thinks he's got it in control, but all of a sudden the church said, well, we're going to pray for him. We're going to pray for Peter because he's down there locked up in Herod's prison in the jail between all these soldiers, and they're not going to let him out. So what did they decide to do? Use the greatest power that the church still has until today, and that's prayer to God. What did they do? They said, okay, Herod thinks he's got it made down there. Let's pray and see what God says. Now, we know what Herod said. They're going to seek the counsel of God. I love it. It said, therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I'm telling you, they got down and got in a prayer meeting. Now, I love prayer meetings when you really get in touch with God. Now, they had a great need. Their friend Peter was locked up. He was in prison. Sounds like a lot of my friends that's locked up and imprisoned by sin and ungodliness in their life, by habits and lifestyle. They're locked up. They're imprisoned right now. Maybe it's time for us as a church to start having prayer meetings that they would be released. Herod thought he had it under control. Guess what? God showed up. God showed up. I'm sure Satan thinks, in our families, a lot of it, he thinks, I've got that under control. Let's pray and let God show up. In verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keeper before the door kept the prison. Now, they thought they had him locked up solid. There was no way out, no way of escape. I'm telling you, there's freedom through Jesus Christ. There's freedom through the Lord and Savior Jesus. Jesus said, if I set you free, you're free indeed. Now, I'm talking about Peter was bound with chains and locked up in a prison, but I know people just as deep locked up and in as deep a prison as Peter was by the sin and ungodliness and lifestyle that they're living. The same way. And Jesus can set you free. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. I always like this about the light shining in the prison. Now, I told you a minute ago that in the heaven, God will be the light. That's some of the same light that shined in that prison. Can you imagine a damp, dark prison in the middle of the night, most likely, and all of a sudden it's lit up? Can you imagine the attention that gets from everybody? I'm telling you, we need that light to shine this day and time, shine from the doors and the windows of this church that people know it's the glory of God, that they might get their attention and see the need that they have in life to be set free from where they're at. God set me free one day through Jesus. I'm telling you, he said, you're free. You're free. Free from sin. Free from the things that hindered me from serving him. And he said the light shined in a prison. The angel of God came in. The light shined in a prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell from off his hand. I think all this time, you know, every time I read this and every time I think about it, about this angel coming in, the light shining, what did he do? It said he smote Peter on the side. Can you imagine somebody that's coming by and you laying there asleep and they say, get up. Wake up call. I'm telling you, we need a wake up call in this community today that God's power through the Holy Spirit maybe smote them on the side. Are you okay? Amen. He's going to make it. He'll be all right. Hit Melvin next time. But when he came in, it was a wake up call. Now, notice, here's Peter laying down there in the prison and went to sleep, probably give up all hope. I want you to know, as long as God's involved, there's hope. You're never without hope as long as God's in the process. He was in the process. He was going to set Peter free. Peter didn't even know it yet. He's laying down there asleep. The angel comes in, smote him on the side. Get up. Get up. He's laying there bound with chains, locked up between two soldiers. Notice this. He said, do it quickly. I always like this point. He said, arise up quickly. He said, don't take 2 or 3 days and drag around here. Don't take 2 or 3 weeks. I'm here. I want you to do it now. You know, I know people that's put off salvation and put off salvation and put off salvation until they're kind of out of the mood. Do it quickly. Angel told him, he said, rise up quickly. Nothing happened until he got on his feet. When he followed the counsel and leadership of God to get on his feet, guess what? The chains fell off. Boy, I'm telling you, when he rose up, the power of God was demonstrated. I believe he just laid there and said, well, Lord, I'll do that tomorrow. He'd still be bound up. I believe he'd still be in the chains, but he followed the counsel of God, the leadership, the Holy Spirit, this angel coming in. We've got that same power available with us today. You're thinking, well, I don't see an angel. God can send one. The Holy Ghost is here. Is that an angel? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and that power is here. And so when he raised up, it said the chains fell from off his hands. I'd love to see somebody set free today. Wouldn't you? I mean, that's been bound by these chains, spiritual chains that has controlled your life, controlled your destiny possibly, between heaven and hell. And I just love to see somebody stand to their feet under this leadership and power of God and hear the chains fall to the floor. I'm talking about hear them rattle. Wouldn't that be something, a way to start off the day that somebody, when we're singing the song, it happened on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday or Sunday, that couldn't stand up. And if you did, you lied to yourself. I remember they did that one time when I wasn't saved, David. I stood up so nobody'd know the difference. But guess what? God knew the difference. God knew all the difference. And I knew when I stood up, I was lying. Deceiving myself. Because I believe people know if they're saved or not. I believe you know if you've accepted what God did on the cross for your salvation. When I think about Peter locked up down here in this prison, and God went to the effort to send an angel, shine the light, set him free. I'd like to see a freedom here today. Somebody with a freedom. I'm going to stop right there. I think as far as I need to go. Let's have a verse for song. You weigh out and make the decision. See, I can't look at you and tell you. I can't look at you and say, I know if they're saved or not. You know, it'd be nice if God had put a fluorescent sign on you saying, saved, saved, saved. But he don't. But he gives you an opportunity. I'm telling you that if you'd like to be free from whatever it might be hindering you, whether it's for salvation or whether it's for service to God through the church, something you need to be doing and not maybe, I don't know. I don't know all the circumstances, but this is a day of freedom, a day that you could stand up and say, I'm free by the power of God. He'll set you free. Maybe it's a habit you need to kick. You know, there's a need in this church today. Maybe it's some little something about your worship time, your study time. You know, whatever it might be, I believe I believe just as much as Peter was set free that day, when he stood up, the chains fell off. So I'm going to ask you to stand. You already be on your feet. So there won't be any reason that God can't work with you. You're on your feet. You're up. If somebody need to come down and pray today, God can handle any situation, anything you're up against, God can take care of it. So I'm going to open this altar. God's going to open the altar. I believe he's giving an altar call right now. If there's a need in this church, you need to come on down and make it right. We're going to sing a verse of a song. Somebody needs to move.